At something in Baptist history each morning, and this morning I want to talk about Abraham Marshall. Abraham Marshall was the son of Daniel Marshall, and Daniel Marshall, just to remind you, was, I think he was a cousin or at least a relative of Shubal Stearns, and Shubal Stearns and some of his family members, Daniel Marshall, some other family members, they had been saved in the Great Awakening and had become what's called New Lights, that is, as opposed to Old Lights. The Old Lights were the old congregational church, and the New Lights were those that were that came out of that church after the Great Awakening. And they were very persecuted, different areas, and they decided to go south and start a church. And they just began on horseback and wagon and took their families and went south. And I'm not going to tell that story this morning, but they ended up in North Carolina where they started Sandy Creek Baptist Church, and that is entirely another couple lessons, wonderful ministry there. But Daniel Marshall was along there, and then his son, Abraham Marshall, Daniel would eventually go to Georgia and start the Keokuk Baptist Church, well, the first Baptist church, maybe the first church actually in Georgia. And then when he died, his son Abraham took that church. And Abraham was a tremendous man of God in his own right. His love was itinerant preaching. That's what he did while his father was still alive until he took that church after his father died. But after his father died, he had to make a round-trip journey. He had to go back to Connecticut to settle some of his father's estate. And so in 1786, he made a 3,000-mile trip by horseback up to Connecticut and back, and he's back in his old ways now, his itinerant preaching days, he felt, and he loved preaching, so every chance he got, he stopped, and he would preach at every opportunity. He witnessed great blessing as he traveled north, and I want to just tell you about him in this journey, his Bible says he possessed a gift not afforded to most of his contemporaries, the ability to clothe his messages in eloquence. He went on to say, his voice is one of the great, of great power, melody, and flexibility. In nothing, perhaps, was he more remarkable than in the power of description. He would portray the glories of heaven with such matchless force and breadth that his hearers would scarcely remain upon their seats. And he would depict the miseries of the lost in such terrible, burning language as almost to make the hair stand erect upon your head. And no one founded more churches, this is during this time, than Abraham Marshall in Georgia. Just tremendous ministry as he started many churches. And we'll talk more about him next March, and another story about him as we follow him later. But as he went to Connecticut, they say the conversions on the trip were counted in the hundreds. As I said, he stopped to preach every time he could. The numbers of people that heard him are really astounding. In New England, he spoke sometimes to hundreds, on one occasion to 3,500 very eager listeners. It is said that not since the days of Whitfield had so large and enthusiastic crowds gathered to hear the gospel preached, and never by a Baptist preacher. This is the first time that many of these people had heard a Baptist preacher. One historian says that crowd assemblies followed him wherever he went. It's calculated that Abraham Marshall preached to between 40 and 50,000 people on his journey to and from New England that one trip. So he left in May of 1786, and he arrived, it took him a long time, he arrived back in Georgia in November, on November 16th, actually, 1786. But one of his personal triumphs was as he traveled. As he traveled, he at one spot he stopped in at a Pastor Winchester. I believe it was in, maybe New York, maybe almost to Connecticut. And Winchester said that he knew of some of his relatives. And so Marshall inquired as to who this was. And the relative that they spoke of was the Reverend Eliakim Marshall. He was a congregational minister. Actually, he had, after the Great Awakening, had left the congregational church and begun to attend a separatist church. He was actually fined once for not attending the public meetings, but he became the pastor of the separatist church in Weatherford, Kentucky. And so he said that he was a famous, this man said, well, he's a very well-respected ex-congregational minister. He believes in baptizing babies. He's left that church, but he still believes in those things. And Abraham said, well, He said, if this be his character, I shall expect to baptize him before I return. For if he had sound judgment, he will understand my arguments. And if he has a tender conscience, then I will have influence on his mind. And so he met this this relative of his. I don't know if he's a uncle several times removed or something. And it's said that they had long discussions from the Word of God. And eventually, after a few days, Eliakim was convinced of immersion and of this Baptist persuasion. But his wife opposed this because she did not want him to follow the Lord in baptism, because he was a well-established, been in the Congregational Church for 30 years. He actually was part of the State Assembly in those years and ran for governor in 1780. But and she felt it would be demeaning to repudiate such prominence and with an admission of this doctrinal error. So Eliakim sought Abraham's advice on this, and he said, what do I do? My wife's against me. This is a very public thing I'm doing here. And that may not sound like much to us today, but everybody would know what was happening here if this man, after all these years, said, I put away all that I've taught. And Abraham said this. He said, I will mention two passages of Scripture which my father frequently made use of in difficult cases, which are these: conferred not with flesh and blood, and what thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might. And then Abraham wrote in his diary this description. He said that after he preached that next Sunday morning, Eliakim went back up to the stage and gave a clear and striking and powerful account of God's work in his soul, greatly to the satisfaction of the congregation. Also, he told them that he had been an advocate of infant sprinkling in opposition to the primitive and apostolic biblical mode, and he was now convinced that he had no warrant for it in the Bible, and he was about to comply with the baptism of our Savior. And then at 2 p.m., he preached a second sermon. This is Abraham writing here. He said, God graced the assembly with his glorious and awful presence. Heaven began on earth. Then we advanced to a river and baptized Eliakim Marshall in the presence of hundreds who had never seen this ordinance administered according to the pattern and example of the Scripture before. Following day, Abraham had the privilege of delivering the ordination sermon of Eliakim as a Baptist preacher. And from 1786 to his death, Eliakim served as a pastor of a Baptist church in Windsor, Connecticut. The next morning, Abraham got on his horse and started south to Georgia. And this certainly was probably the highlight of the personal highlight of this trip. He will have another trip back to Connecticut. I'll tell you about that in March. Very interesting thing, as he went to look for a wife. And we'll talk about that again later. But I want to thank the Lord today for this man who it is said of him that he was sure of himself, and he was sure of the Word of God, and very confident man, and a great Baptist preacher.